Welcome to True Spirituality Network. We are focused on spreading the gospel of God's love across the world. The Bible says, there is no fear in love, and perfect love casts out every fear. As you feed on God's love for you, allow His love to cast out every fear, worry, and anxiety. God loves you.
So Genesis chapter 23, we're going to start reading from verse 1. We're going to read the old verses, actually. That's why we're here. And this is Bible study. So let's read it. So we can do King James, by the way, from verse 1. And then we'll stop at verse 20. Are you ready? We're going to read together. So it's going to be fun. So let's all read together. One, two, go. Sarah lived 127 years. These were the years of the life of Sarah. Verse 2 now. So Sarah died in Kajath Abba, that is Hebron, in the land of Canaan. And Abraham came to mourn for Sarah and to weep for her. Verse 3 now. Then Abraham stood up from before his dead and spoke to the sons of Heth, saying, I am a foreigner and a visitor among you. Give me property for a burial place among you, that I may bury my dead out of my sight. Verse 5. And the sons of Heth answered Abraham, saying to him, hear us, my lord. You are a mighty prince among us. Bury your dead in the choicest of your burial places. None of us will withhold from you his burial place, that you may bury your dead. Verse 7. Then Abraham stood up and bowed himself to the people of the land, the sons of Heth. Verse 8. And he spoke with them, saying, if it is your wish that I bury my dead out of my sight, hear me, and meet with Ephron, the son of Zohar, for me, that he may give me the cave of Machpelah, which he has, which is at the end of his field. Let him give it to me at the full price, as property for a burial place among you. Verse 10. Now Ephron dwelt among the sons of Heth, and Ephron the Hittite answered Abraham in the presence of the sons of Heth, all who entered at the gate of his city, saying, no, my lord, hear me. I give you the field and the cave that is in it. I give it to you in the presence of the sons of my people. I give it to you. Bury your dead. Verse 12. Then Abraham bowed himself down before the people of the land, and he spoke to Ephron in the hearing of the people of the land, saying, if you will give it, please hear me. I will give you money for the field. Take it from me, and I will bury my dead there. Verse 14. And Ephron answered Abraham, saying to him, my lord, listen to me. The land is worth 400 shekels of silver. What is that between you and me? So bury your dead. Verse 16. And Abraham listened to Ephron, and Abraham weighed out the silver for Ephron, which he had named in the hearing of the sons of Heth, 400 shekels of silver, currency of the merchants. So the field of Ephron was, which was in Machpelah, which was before Mamre, the field and the cave which was in it, and all the trees that were in the field, which were within all the surroundings border, were deeded. King James English. Anyway, verse 18. To Abraham as a possession in the presence of the sons of Heth, before all who went in at the gate of his city. And after this, Abraham buried Sarah, his wife, in the cave of the field of Machpelah, before Mamre, that is Hebron, in the land of Canaan. Last verse now. So the field and the cave that is in it were deeded to Abraham by the sons of Heth as property for a burial place. May the Lord bless the hearing and the reading of the word for the salvation of our soul. I like God's people say. Amen. We just read Genesis chapter 23 from verse 1 to the end. I mean, that's enough Bible for Bible study. You read about 23 verse, and it's on record that you read that still, right? But my point is, so let's say you're studying your Bible. How do you make sense from what you just read now? Because looking from the look of this, all we could see is just how Sarah died and how Abraham was negotiating the land. So Abraham, if you go back to, just for the fun of it, let's go back to verse, there's a place he said, I'm a foreigner in this land. Anybody can find that verse? That should be verse 3. Let's see verse 3. Okay, I am a foreigner and a visitor among you. So Abraham said he's a foreigner, which he was, right? But the concerning thing is, you see, this same land, God had made a promise to Abraham that he will give Abraham this land. And then for many years, even till when Sarah passed, it's almost as if Abraham doesn't have anything in the land. In fact, Abraham would not even have a piece of the land if Sarah possibly did not die. Yeah. So, and it's almost as if God would say, Abraham, I have given you this land. Let me give you a couple of scriptures that says that. We're going to come back to this. Let's go to Genesis chapter 15. We've read some of them before in the past. Genesis chapter 15, verse 7. God has promised Abraham this land. God will tell Abraham, I have given you the land, or I will give you this land. And it's almost as if even now the wife passed away, the guy still doesn't have a plot of the land and was only able to secure just a plot just to even bury the wife. So that means we have to take out time to study what this land that God has been repeating really mean. Because if it was physical land, by now, Abraham should own many acres of the land. You understand what I mean, right? But it's almost as if Abraham, as at this point, does not. In fact, technically, Abraham did not have, apart from this place he bought, even when he died, this was the same place they buried him. So that simply means we have to pay more attention to what is the land that God has been promising Abraham. Let's start from Genesis chapter 15, verse 7. The Bible says, then he said to him, I am the Lord who brought you out of all of the Chaldeans to give you this land to inherit it. What did God tell Abraham? I want to give you this land to inherit it. What happened? Sarah just died. Abraham didn't even have a plot of the land. He had to buy it, 400 shekels of silver. Right? So my point is, if God will, and there's so many places in the Bible where God told Abraham, I have given you the land. Even later on in Exodus, God will tell the children of Israel the same thing. This same promise of I will give you the land. You remember at a point, the children of Israel, when they left Egypt, they were going to the promised land. So this land conversation was a big deal because God kept repeating it. But it's almost as if when God told Abraham the land, Abraham didn't have a plot of the land. So we have to take our time to study what the land is. You understand what I mean, right? So Genesis 15 told us that God said, I am the Lord who brought you out of all of the Chaldeans to give you this land to inherit it. Let's check another scripture. Genesis chapter 17. Still talking about how God has promised Abraham the land. Because if Abraham was thinking carnally, by now he should have had many acres in that particular land. Genesis chapter 17. Let's do verse 8. Genesis chapter 17. Let's do verse 8. Genesis 17 and verse 8. The Bible says, also I will give to you and your descendant after you the land in which you are a stranger. You remember Abraham told them that he was a stranger, right? I showed you that in Genesis 23. So the Bible says, I will give you and your descendants. So this promise is not just for Abraham. Now, whatever this land is, God is saying, I will give your descendants after you the land in which you are a stranger, all the land of Canaan. So the Bible is saying all, as an everlasting possession, and I will be their God. Now, keep this in mind. How to study your Bible is this. Whatever this land is, the reality will be, I will be their God. Make sense? If you've not been paying attention to this land before, now we just realize Abraham's wife died and he doesn't even have a plot of the land. So we have to go back to where every time God has promised him the land. Are we missing out something? Because if you had promised him this land, you said you would give him, you give it. He doesn't even have a plot of land until when the wife died. He has to start buying. So that means, my point is, that means this land is not literal. But now we are finding something close to it. The Bible is saying, you see, this land is not just you, I'll give it to your descendant. And the beautiful thing is, I will be their God. So whatever this land is, we can say the reality will be God will be their God. So that simply means with this land, if God say, I have given this land and you receive it, that means we can say the effect, the reality will be God will be your God. Does it make sense? Am I showing this from the Bible? Makes sense, right, Samantha? Awesome. So we're taking our time to go back to every time God promised him. Why? Because we realize after this guy's wife died, he didn't even have a plot. He had to buy a land. And those ones were trying to give him for free. But he said, no, I will buy this. Because he told them, I'm a stranger in this land. So now, one more time, the Bible says, I will give to you and your descendants after you the land in which you are a stranger. So it's the same land. And all the land of Canaan as an everlasting possession. What is the effect? And I will be their God. Let's go to Genesis 24. This is after Sarah died. God made another promise. Genesis 24, verse 7. Genesis chapter 24, verse 7. Genesis 24, 7. This was after Sarah died. God still spoke about the land. And throughout the Old Testament, there were a lot of mentioning about the land. The Bible says, the Lord God of heaven, who took me from my father's house and from the land of my family, and who spoke to me and swore to me. This is Abraham talking, and he was quoting where we just read. But you see, to your descendant, I will give this land. So what did God swear to Abraham? To your descendant, I will give this. What did God swear to Abraham? To your descendant, I will give. So the promise God made to Abraham is the same promise to the descendant of Abraham. You all agree with that, right? In which Genesis 17 will say, and I will be their God. So the reality of the fulfillment of the promise about having the land will be God will be our God. With that understanding, let's go to the book of Hebrews. Hebrews chapter 11. Hebrews chapter 11. Hebrews chapter 11. Let's start from verse 1. It's Bible study. We have time. Hebrews 11, 1. Very popular. Faith is the substance of things hoped for, the evidence of things not seen. Right? You should be able to quote it often. But let's see. Hebrews chapter 11, verse 1. Are we there? If you're there, let's all read together if it's on the screen. One, two, go. Now, faith is the substance of things hoped for, the evidence of things not seen. Now, over and over in this church, I've preached that this faith is talking about. It's not talking about, let's say you're trusting God for a car. You now go and get a key holder. You now say, God, I don't have the car yet, but this key holder is the evidence. That's not what it means. It's not that you're trusting God for your house. Now go and buy a key by faith. They say, Lord, this is how I want to enter my house. That's not what this faith is talking about. Faith in this context is talking about the substance of things all the people in the Old Testament were hoping for, which is going to be Christ. The evidence of things, they didn't see him. They were all hoping for him. Right? Verse 2, we say, by it, the elders obtain a good report. But you know what? Go to Hebrews chapter 10. Let's go to Hebrews chapter 10. Hebrews chapter 10 is before Hebrews chapter 11. Give us Hebrews chapter 10 from verse 37. Hebrews chapter 10 from verse 37. Hebrews chapter 10 verse 37. So it will make more sense when the Bible told us that by that faith is the substance of things hoped for. So what is the one they were hoping for? Hebrews 10, 37. Hebrews chapter 10. Verse 37. The Bible says, for yet a little while, and he who is coming will come and will not tarry. So there is a one that is coming that will not tarry. He that will come will come. He will not tarry. And when some of these people in the Old Testament heard the message of the one that will come, that will not tarry, that is the definition of faith. The substance of things they were hoping for. Who were they hoping for? The one that will come. That will not tarry. So faith in Hebrews 11 is about Jesus. That's what I'm just trying to say. So he's the one that will come and will not tarry. So he's not talking about faith to get shoes, cars, house. We have to just clarify that. It's just about Jesus. Now let's go back to Abraham's story. Let's go to verse 8 now. So Hebrews 11, we're going to read verse 8. We're going to read verse 9. And we're going to read verse 10. We're going to read it very slowly. Because again, we said this land promise is not just for Abraham. It's for Abraham and his descendant. And then we said the effect will be, and I will be their God. So let's go to Hebrews chapter 11. We're going to read from verse 8, verse 9. And we're going to read verse 10. The Bible says, by faith, let's all read this together, one to go. By faith, Abraham obeyed when he was called to go out to the place. Stop. So the Bible called, in quotes, the land now, the place. What will happen in that place? Where he would receive, it's on the screen, let's read it together. Where he would receive what? His inheritance. Okay, so whatever that land is the place where people receive inheritance, which Genesis 17 also say, and I will be their God. Okay, let's keep reading this now. And he went out, not knowing where he was going. Okay, verse 9. By faith, he dwelt in the land of promise. So verse 9, call it land of promise. Verse 8 told us it is a place. What place? A place where we receive inheritance. Verse 9 says it is the land. What land? Land of promise. Genesis 17 will say, I will give you and your descendants this land, and I will be their God. Keep all of this to mind. We're just trying to decode what is the land God promised Abraham. Because it can't be physical. Now they realize the wife is dead and he doesn't even have a plot of land. Right. So that's why we're taking our time to study this. Okay. Dwelling in tent. Okay. By faith, he dwelt in the land of promise as in the foreign country, dwelling in tent with Isaac and Jacob, the heirs with him of the same promise. So whatever God promised Abraham, God promised Isaac. Whatever God promised Isaac, God promised Jacob. And they all believed, right? Remember, Abraham believed God. That simply means Isaac will believe. That simply means Jacob will believe. That simply means if you realize that Abraham blessed Isaac, this will be the blessing they're talking about. The same promise they received, they will narrate it to their kids. They will believe. The kids will narrate it, and then they kept passing it on. So now you understand when the Bible says Esau sold his birthright. So this is the inheritance he sold. Make sense? Do you understand what I just said now? So there's such a thing called the birthright that was for Abraham would transfer the blessings, in quote. It will communicate the same message he has received from the Lord to Isaac. Isaac will carry the same message. He will communicate it. Now, he was supposed to give it to Esau. Esau will sell his birthright to Jacob. So instead of Esau taking or continuing the same inheritance, the same promise, now is Jacob receiving it. Make sense? Make sense, Samantha? Okay. For he waited for the city. Stop. So now it was a land before, inheritance, land of promise. Now he's calling it city. It's all the same thing, by the way, but Hebrews is just saying it in a different way. He waited for what? What was he waiting for? City. What is this city about? Which has foundation, whose builder and maker is God. Stop. Let's bring it together. So in Genesis 17, that particular land, God said, I will give it to you and your descendants, and I will be their God, right? In Hebrews chapter 11, verse 8, it will say, he went to a place. In verse 9, it will say, land of promise. In verse 10, it says, he was looking forward to a city. So the city is the same as the land of promise, is the same as the inheritance. And it's also going to be the same as I will be their God. Do you understand what you said? Did you write that down? I can repeat it if you want to write it down. Because you're trying to solve Bible puzzle now. Do I need to repeat that? Should I repeat it? Okay. So we are looking for this land God promised Abraham. Why are we looking for it? Because Abraham's wife just died and he doesn't even have a plot of land. So now we started checking. Let's go back to Genesis 17. Or better still, we don't have to go back. Just write it down. Genesis chapter 17, verse 8. So God promised Abraham in Genesis 17, 8, that I will give you and your descendant this land, and I will be their God. So we realize that the reality of having this land, of inheriting this land, is that God will be your God. We came to the book of Hebrews chapter 11. And then in verse 8, we realize that the Bible calls it a place. He came to a place. Give us Hebrews. Go back to verse 8. Let's read verse 8 again. From verse 8 to verse 10. We are just looking for this land. By faith, Abraham obeyed when he was called to go out to that place. What's going to happen in this place? Which he would receive as an inheritance. So we can say the promise of the land is the promise of an inheritance. Does that make sense? Okay. If we keep reading, and he went out not knowing where he was going. Verse 9 now. By faith, he dwelt in the land of promise. So the Bible calls that land, land of promise. So the same land of promise is the same place where we receive his inheritance. Where the Bible says, I will be their God. And the Bible says, dwelling in tent with Isaac and Jacob, the heirs with him of the same promise. Verse 10 now. Give us verse 10. For he waited for the city. You have to even underline this because we're going to talk a lot about this city. So I can say the land is a city. The land is a land of promise. The land is a city which builder is God. Do you all understand? So whatever this land is, the book of Hebrews liken it to a city whose builder and maker is God. And this is almost confirming again what the gospel is. That the person who will build this particular house, this particular city, is not going to be me or you. We are not going to labor for it. It is God himself that will do what he said he will do. Make sense? Remember Hagar and Sarah? Hagar giving birth to Ishmael is human attempt to fulfill God's promise. But Sarah giving birth to Isaac is God fulfilling the promise he made. So in this particular land, God promised Abraham, which the Bible called a city, a land of promise. The Bible says the maker and the builder is God. Have you read this place before in the Bible? Except the Lord build a house. Have you read what's next? In vain. Why? Because God wants to build the house. So when a man is trying to build a house that God wants to build, we can say that man is under the law. In other words, that man needs to get rid of the slave woman and her son. You understand what I mean, right? Do you understand what I just said now? Everybody should understand that. Get rid of the slave woman, your son simply means get rid of the mentality that is keeping you under the law. If God said, I will do something, let God do that which he said he will do. My point is, this land is also called a city whose builder is God. Let me let you write that down there. This land is also a city, according to Hebrews, and it says the builder, the Bible says, the builder and the maker is who? Is God. So keep in mind, land, builder, and the maker of that city is God. So the land is a city whose builder and maker is God. The land also, the reality of the land is God will be your God. Okay? With that understanding, let's go and hear more from what Ezekiel has to say. Let's go to Ezekiel chapter 11. The book of Ezekiel chapter 11. You know what? Before we go to Ezekiel, while we're still in Hebrews, right? Take us to Hebrews 11, verse 16. Give us verse 16 of Hebrews. But keep in mind, I'm going to ask you again, keep in mind, the land is a city whose maker and builder is God. Keep that in mind. We're going to need it. But let's go to Hebrews chapter 11, verse 16. Let's do verse 16. Verse 16. But now they desire a better, that is, a heavenly country. It's talking about the same land. They desire. Therefore, God is not ashamed to be called their God, for he has prepared a city for. What did I tell you to keep in mind? The land is a city whose builder and maker is God. Right? So the Bible says, God is not ashamed to be called their God. Why? Because he has prepared the same city for them. So I can say God prepared a land for people simply means God prepared a city for them. Who is the builder and maker of that city? God himself. And what is the effect? God is not ashamed to be called your God. Or according to Genesis, I will be their God. We are cracking puzzle today. Unpopular puzzle, but I know you get it. Is it making sense up to this point? So now let's go to Ezekiel. Let's look for city. Let's go to Ezekiel chapter 11. Ezekiel chapter 11 from verse 17 to verse 20. Ezekiel chapter 11, verse 17. To verse 20, Ezekiel 11, 17 to 20. Ezekiel 11, 17 to 20. Are you ready? All right. Okay. The media team is not ready. Ezekiel 11. So while they're looking for it, again, the land is the same as the city. The city whose maker and the builder is God. What is the reality of living in that land? God is not ashamed to be called your God. Or another way, Genesis 17 said it is, I will be their God. Okay, Ezekiel 11, everybody, let's get together, I want to go. Therefore, say, thus says the Lord God, I will gather you from the people's assembly, you from the countries where you have been scattered, and I will give you the land of Israel. God is making the promise now, okay? Verse 18, they will go there, and they will take away all its detestable things and all its abominations from there. Okay, verse 19 now. Then I will give them one heart. So the Bible is talking about the reality of living in the land now. I will give them one heart, and I will put a new spirit within them, and take the stoning heart out of their flesh and give them a heart of flesh. Stop. So again, what are we looking for? The land. Now, we are getting more information about the land according to Ezekiel. According to Genesis, the Bible says God will give Abraham and his descendants a land. What is the effect? I will be their God. According to Hebrews, Hebrews says that same land is a city they were all looking forward to, where God is not ashamed to be called their God. You remember all of these things we were saying, right? Now, Ezekiel is now saying now, God said he will gather people from wherever they are scattered and bring them to a land. What will happen in that land? In that land, God will give them a new heart, a new spirit. So giving them a new heart is the same thing as giving them a new spirit. It's the same thing as saying they are now being given the land. Straightforward? Make sense? Okay, let's keep reading then. Give us verse 20. That they may walk in my statutes and keep my judgments and do them, and they shall be my people, and I will be their. You see, this is that word again, right? The reality of living in the land is you will be God's people, and God is your God. Hebrews will put it this way. I am not ashamed to be called their God. So the effect, keep this in mind now, the effect of living in the land, according to this verse, is that the people now will now keep the statutes of the Lord. But they won't do it with their capacity. God will first of all bring them into the land. What does it mean? God will give them a new heart. He will give them a spirit. The spirit will now enable them to keep the status of God. So it is not man trying to fulfill the status of God in his own strength. It is God giving man his spirit, a new heart, that enables the man to walk in his own status. Because in the land, which Hebrews calls the city, whose builder and maker is God, God is the one walking behind the scene. So that God walking, man believing, receiving that which God is doing. What is God doing? You know, remember, this, the builder and the maker is who? God. So what is God doing? God is taking away a stoning heart. God is putting a heart of flesh. That is the building. God is putting a new spirit. That is the building. Make sense? Okay. Ezekiel 36. Ezekiel 36. The same understanding. Ezekiel 36 put it in a simpler way. From verse 24 to verse 28. Ezekiel 36 from verse 24. Again, I'm going to keep recapping this just to make sure we get it. Genesis told us, 23 told us, Abraham wanted to bury Sarah, but he didn't even have a plot of land. And then we're like, I thought God has been promising this guy this same land all this while. Then we realize, oh, maybe this land is not physical. Let's pay close attention to when God made this promise. So we realize in Genesis 17, when God made the promise, God told him, I will be their God. Okay, so the reality of having this land God promised is that God will be your God. We went to Hebrews. Hebrews told us that the land is also a city whose builder and maker is God. So whatever this land is, God is the one building the city and making the city. Ezekiel now told us that God said he will gather his people from every part of the earth and bring them to the land of Israel, whereby he will take away the heart of stone, he will give them the heart of flesh. So that is God building, taking away something, replacing something. That's the building, which maker and builder is God. And the Bible says, I will give you my spirit. What is the effect? It will make these people walk in the statutes of the Lord. And God now says, you will be my people, and I will be your God, which Genesis spoke about, which Hebrews spoke about. Okay. Ezekiel, are we there? 36. Okay, let's all read together from verse. Nope, not 34. From verse 24. Ezekiel 36 from verse 24. Ezekiel 36. Are we there? Okay. Let's all read together. 1, 2, go. For I will take you from among the nations, gather you out of all countries, and bring you into your own land. Stop for a second. Now, I want you to read this now, not as a story, but read it as what God did for you when God redeemed you. Where God will bring you out from among the nations, right? You know, literally what God did for you is God brought you from, in quotes, the nation you are, and God brought you to his own nation. God brought you from your own city, and God brought you into his own city. So now when you read this now, I will take you from among nations, gather you out of all countries, and bring you into your own land. So you see that land again? Let us take time to understand, what is the land? By the way, I'm saying this because in the Old Testament, this punchline was used a lot to communicate the gospel. Land, 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 land. So let's go back to reading this. Let's go back to it. One to go. For I will take you from among the nations, gather you out of all countries, and bring you into your own land. Verse 25 now. Then I... Okay, stop. Before we read then, what did God say he will do? I will bring you to your own land. Okay, so what happens in the land? I will sprinkle clean water on you, and you shall be... What is God doing? He's building and he's making. Remember, Hebrews said a city where the maker and the builder is who? God. What is the gospel? What believing what God has done through Christ. Right? It is not we doing. It is him doing, and he has done. And we believe that which he has done. And we can say we are born again. In fact, technically, believing God as build and make will automatically put us in the land God is talking about. Because in that land is where we receive forgiveness of sins. The Bible says, I will clean you. It's where we receive in the Holy Spirit. I will put my spirit within you. But let's keep reading. Let's go back. I will sprinkle clean water on you. You shall be clean. I will cleanse you from all your filthiness and from all your idols. So there's cleansing in the land, right? Okay. I will give you a new heart and put a new spirit within you. You see this word again? What is God doing? Building. I will take the heart of stone out of your flesh and give you a heart of flesh. I will put my spirit within you and cause you to walk in my statutes, and you will keep my judgment and do them. What is God doing? Building and making. Is it making sense? So what happens in the land? You see, before God starts speaking about, I will do this, I will do this, God will speak about that land. And the reality of the land is, if you're in that land, God has cleansed you. Make sense? If you're in that land, God has given you a spirit that will empower you to walk in his status. I'm showing you all of this to tell you that when God told Abraham, I will give you land, and this promise is not just for you, Abraham, it's for all your descendants. It's the same thing as when we say, what is the blessing of Abraham? Justification by faith. It's not just for Abraham, it's for every one of us that believed you. So the same way God promised Abraham the land and all the descendants, he promised you too. And then when you got born again, that was you believing God about the promise of giving you a land. So we can say when they preach to you, we can tell you the teaching can be likened, if we want to use Old Testament term now, we can say God is offering you a land. When you believe that, we can say you accepted the land. And what is the reality? Your sins were cleansed. God took away out of flesh or out of stone. He gave you out of flesh. And then he gave you his spirit, so that you can walk in his statues. Make sense? Make sense? So if we say, what is the land God promised Abraham? We can say it is a spirit. We can say it is a new heart. We can say it is a city whose builder and maker is God. Do you understand up to this point? Do we all understand up to this point? Talk to me. We do? Give us verse 28. Let's do verse 28. Then we have to scream verse 28 together. It just blew up everything we say. Let's just read this together. I want to go. Then you shall dwell in the land that I gave to your father. Stop. Then simply means after all I've done, then you dwell in that land. Right? So how can a man dwell in the land? The verses before, God will clean you. He will wash you from all your sins. Then he will give you his spirit. Then you now dwell in that land. So the promise of the land is not just for Abraham, it's for all his descendants. Yes. So when you believe, you are in the land. You are dwelling in the land. Why? Because God has cleansed you. God has given you the spirit. The Bible said, then you shall dwell in the land. So what's the criteria to dwell in the land? Believe. So your belief simply means God washed you, gave you. I'm saying the same thing over and over. You understand, right? Okay, let's go back to it. You shall be my people, and I will be your, that is the reality of living in that land. So this land is not a physical land. You could call it Mount Zion. It's not a physical place. You could call it in Christ. That's the land. So here, promised land, promised land, promised land, promised land, promised land is not a literal place you're looking for. The promised land itself is in Christ, where God is not ashamed to be called your God, where you are God's people and God is your God. So my point is, so the Old Testament has a parabolic way of communicating the gospel. Remember when we started from Genesis chapter 1, verse 1, the Bible says, in the beginning, God created the heavens and the earth, and the earth was without form and void. We realize that the state of the earth was without form and void. How was God going to take care of that? God will say, let there be light. And there was light. We said that light is Jesus. John chapter 8, verse 12. Jesus will say, I am the light of the world. Whosoever follow me shall not walk in darkness. Right? Right? So we can say somebody who is not born again is in darkness. Somebody who is born again is in the light. So your born again experience is God transitioning you away from darkness and putting you into his light. So we can say all things are passed away, right? All things have become new. So Revelation chapter 21 verse 1 put it this way. He said, then, give us Revelation 21 verse 1. I'm trying to quote a friend. I see a new heaven and a new earth. Okay, I'm quoting already. For the old heavens and the old earth are passed away and there's no more sea. So my point is, so the gospel is being communicated. The Bible will use land. The Bible will use heaven and earth. But is he talking about your redemption? So when the Bible says there will be a new heaven and a new earth, he's talking about how a man will be saved. And his new reality will be likened to a new heaven and a new earth, which Paul will write in a simpler way. And he will say, if any man be in Christ, is a new creature. All things have passed away. Behold, all things have become new. Then after the old heaven and earth conversation, another way of communicating the gospel, apart from using heaven and earth, is to say, I want to bring you into a land flowing with milk and honey. He's talking about your redemption. So the Bible uses so many terms to communicate the same thing, your redemption. Making sense? So when you hear about God bringing them, taking them to a land of flowing with milk and honey, he's talking about redemption. Because that land is not a physical place. It's a place whereby if you are there, your reality is God will be your God and he's not ashamed to be called your God. You are his people. It's a place whereby you have been cleansed. He has given you his spirit. So we can say you are eating the good of the land. Is it making sense? Give us Isaiah. Before Isaiah, we are seeing Ezekiel. Oh, you left Ezekiel. Go back to Ezekiel. Let's start wrapping up. Ezekiel 36. Let's read Ezekiel 36 and verse 28 one more time. We're going to read verse 28 and verse 33. Ezekiel 36. There are so many things to learn from Ezekiel. So that same land conversation was what Hebrews now told us, that the builder and the maker is God. Your born again experience is you allowing God to build you, to make you, to transition you from the kingdom of darkness into the kingdom of his son, to change you. So you are now in a new land. The Bible says in Ezekiel chapter 36. Okay, not 32. 33. Give us 33. 33. Thus saith the Lord God, on the day, this is awesome, on the day that I cleanse you from all your iniquities, on that particular day, I will also enable you to dwell where? In the cities. Who is the builder and the maker of the city? God. So which day does he make people dwell there? The day he cleanses them from their sin. So we can say your born again experience is your cleansing experience, is the day you started living in the land God promised. Your promised land experience began when you got born again. It is not you saying, Lord, take me to my promised land. That's a wrong prayer point. It's not in the future. The enemy always have a way of making people feel as if what God already promised them is in the future. So you make them to pray for what they already have. That's ignorance. You are already actively in your promised land. Christ, in Christ, is your promised land. Mount Zion, a city where the builder and the maker himself is God. Making sense? Samantha? Okay. So eating the good of the land. Isaiah, give us Isaiah. Isaiah chapter 1. Isaiah chapter 1 verse 19. Isaiah chapter 1 verse 19. We are just trying to decode what the land is. And I think we've done a pretty good job. But let's start wrapping it up. Isaiah chapter 1 verse 19. So we can say when they preach to you, it's like telling you God is offering you a land whose city, or which is also called a city, whose builder and maker is God himself. Isaiah chapter 1 verse 19. Let's all read together. I want to go. If you are willing and obedient, you shall eat the good of the... So how can the man eat the good of the land? Willing and obedient. By the obedience will mean you believe. But give us verse 18 now. So what are the goods of the land? Isaiah chapter 1 verse 18. Are we there? Okay, let's all read together. I want to go. Come now, let us reason together. Stop. If you are willing, right? So if you are willing to what? Reason together. That's how you interpret your Bible. Before verse 19, it told us, okay, verse 19 told us if you are willing and obedient. To be obedient, most of the time in the Old Testament will mean you believe. Isaiah 53 will say, who has believed our report? And to whom is the arm of the Lord revealed? So most of the time they use obey, they meant believe. But anyway, that's another conversation. So, but in this context, if you are willing, verse 19, and obedient, where did that statement came out from? Verse 18, come, let us reason together. So now, if you are willing to reason with God, let us see how God reasons. Let's go back to it now. Come now, let us reason together, says the Lord. What is God wanting us to reason about? Though your sins are like scarlet, they shall be as white as snow. Though they are red like crimson, they shall be as wool. What's that talking about? The forgiveness of sins. And then when he finished this verse, he now said, if you are willing to what? To reason the way God reasons. And you are obedient. You believe that God can cleanse you no matter how bad you think your sin is. The Bible says you will eat the good of the land. What is the good of the land? The forgiveness of sins. Ezekiel will say, God giving you a new spirit. Hebrews will say, God is not ashamed to be called their God. Make sense? Everybody, make sense? Make sense? Let me show you one more scripture and let's wrap it up because of time. Exodus chapter 6. Exodus chapter 6. So we can say the good of the land is the forgiveness of sins. We can say the good of the land is God is not ashamed to be called their God. We can say the good of the land is God is not ashamed to... God will be their God, you'll be his people. We can say the good of the land is a new spirit. We can say the good of the land is a new heart. The day you receive forgiveness of sin is the day you dwell in the land. It's not a physical land. The name of the land is in Christ, if you want to give it a name. Anyway, Exodus chapter 6, we're going to read from verse 6, and we're going to stop at verse 9. And that's going to be our last scripture for the day. Exodus chapter 6. Are we there? From verse 6. Okay, let's all read together. One to go. Therefore, say to the children of Israel, I am the Lord. I will bring you out from under the burdens of the Egyptians. Stop. Picture this to be your redemption. Where did God brought you out? From the burdens of sin and death. Right? That's how you use the Bible. I have used so many things to communicate your redemption, but now let's see it. Not just Israel. You see, when you think Israel is not, the reason why he made it to the Bible is not so I can be thinking about it. It's how God saved Israel is how God saved you. That's just it. Anyway, let's go back to it. So I'll bring you out of the burdens of the Egyptians. I will rescue you from the bondage. You see, these are promises. And I will redeem you with an outstretched arm and with what? Great judgment. Somebody say, the judgment of God. What is the judgment of God? Give us the next verse. Next verse, verse 7. I will take you as my... So God's great judgment is taking unbelievers as his people. Do you understand what I mean? Is saving people. So he said, God, let your judgment fall. I hope it's in the context of saving people. Let's go back to it. I will take care of my people. I will be your God. You see that punchline again? Then you shall know that I am the Lord your God, who brings you from under the burdens of the Egyptians. So what's going to happen next? Verse 8 now. And I will bring you into the land. You see? Land that which I swore to give to Abraham, Isaac, and Jacob. I will give it to you as a heritage. So if I say God will give you the land, that's the gospel, right? But let's give us verse 9. Give us verse 9. Let's just stay back on the Bible. So Moses spoke thus to the children of Israel, but they did not heed Moses. They did not believe. So people were like, oh, how about those that live before the time of Jesus? How did they hear the gospel? Anyways, land, heaven and earth, those were their own gospel. Ark, those were gospel. So we see now that when God said, I will take you out of the bondage of Egypt, I will give you the land. That's good news. If they believed, that's why even at the end of the day, the Canaan land is only the few people that believe that God there. Because to enter is not by power, by might. It is through faith. Right? How did you get born again? It is by faith in Christ. I've closed my Bible. So what is the land? We can say the land, according to Genesis chapter 17. The Bible says, God said, I will give you, Abraham, and your descendants the land, and I will be their God. According to Hebrews, Hebrews said the land is a city whose builder and maker is God, and God is not ashamed to be called their God. According to Ezekiel, Ezekiel will say God will give you a new heart. He will give you his spirit, and then you will dwell in the land. Ezekiel 36 says so. So the land is a city whose maker and builder is God. Your born-again experience is God giving you the land. Your promised land, you are already in it. Don't start looking for any other promised land. You're already in Christ, who himself is your promised land. So God has built you. He has taken you away from the land of bondage, taken away heart of stone. He has given you heart of flesh. That is God building and making you. And he said, it is done. Glory to God. Do you understand what we've been saying for the past 1 hour? Any objection? Okay, I'm just going to pray. If you have questions, we'll get to it. Father, we thank you. Thank you because your word is just full of light, and we've been able to see Jesus in the beauty of his holiness. We see that you communicated the gospel to us again, even by using land, how you bring a man from a nation of bondage into a promised land. And that was how you saved us, by bringing us from the bondage of sin and death. You brought us into the kingdom of your dear son, Jesus Christ. And now you gave us your spirit, and you cleansed us from all our sins, which is the good of the land. We are grateful for this, O Lord. We give you all of the praise. We will continue to remember these truths, not only on Wednesdays, but for every single day of our lives. In Jesus' mighty name, I be prayed. And let God's people say, amen. Awesome. We're done, technically. We can stop the live stream.
If you have been blessed by this message, we invite you to partner with us to send the gospel of God's love to all nations. Send us an email on truespiritualitynetwork@gmail.com. You can also follow us on all social media platforms, True Spirituality Network on both Facebook and Instagram, T Spirituality on Telegram, and Akimika on YouTube. So catch up with all our podcasts, search for Akimika on all major platforms, including Spotify, AudioMark, and Anchor. As you feed on God's love for you, allow his love to cast out every fear. And remember, it's not about you, it's all about Jesus.